I'm gonna just cut to footage of the bad slasher movie now. Well, I don't think that was actually the Grinch, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. What do you guys think?
Well, I think the Grinch is under public domain now, so they did actually just make a horror movie that's the Grinch
Did
in.
they?
That's what I'm talking about. That's
Yeah,
what
that's what I thought. Okay.
I love that. I
He's not
need
in the
to.
public domain. He's
He's
not.
not? He's
No.
not?
Then how did
No.
they get away with that?
They didn't call him the Grinch. They called him the mean one.
Oh, that's terrible.
Technicalities.
Loopholes, I guess.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, I guess that was not actually a sequel to the Jim Carrey the Grinch. So how are you guys doing? Despite being Jewish, my father loves to do Christmas, so you know. Also, I've got this very nice hat here, you know.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Adrian, you've got some hat head on your head, you know.
You stole my hat again.
I did it. This is my hat.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Well, you know, I was gonna put it on my head, but it's too small, so you know.
I know. It's because I have no brain in there. I have a
Hey,
big
hey, hey, hey. We don't talk like that here.
brain.
How you guys doing? Welcome to Demon Toast. This is the podcast of Death Wish Poetry Magazine. I'm your jolly, jolly Grinchmas host, King Loki. I'm the editor of Death Wish Poetry Magazine. With me are my co-hosts. We've got Erica, poet,
Hello.
smart person, and Adrian, artist, smart person, insane person, and Mike, also poet and cool person. So what's up, guys?
Happy to be here. Still recovering from the holiday shenanigans a little bit, but yes. I also
Yeah.
don't know how it is where you guys are, but it's about 20 degrees up here, so little brisk.
Little brisk,
It
yeah.
actually cooled down here. It was like 80 degrees yesterday, and now it feels like it's gonna snow.
Really?
Erica
Oh my
knows.
God.
It's
Now it feels
still
like it's gonna
warm for
snow.
us. We're still hitting the 70s.
Dude, Amarillo just got cold all of a sudden, and it's like, whoo, like I can see my breath. It's like duck's breath. It's funny. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, you know, it snowed out there, so I'm not leaving the house. I'm not even to walk the doggy. I don't care, you know. I don't leave the house.
You got snow. I'm so jealous.
If you can
Same.
call it snow, it doesn't really snow anymore. It's way too this planet's way too warm for it to really snow, you know. It used to fucking snow, man. Go outside and Frosty would be like, "Why are you in my living room?" You know.
I think the last time I saw snow, like in person, was my senior year of high school.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm
Was
saying.
that 2020? It was snowpocalypse. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know. I just remember this one snowstorm. I was maybe 4 years old, maybe three. I walked outside, and my mother picked me up and threw me off the stairs. And I went, "Mommy, no!" And I hit the snow. And I
Disappeared.
got back up because there was enough snow that she was able to just chuck me. She's like, "You like that?" I'm like, "Do it again, Mommy!" You know. Never happened
Typical
again.
fashion.
Must have been like 5 feet of snow, man. Like, it was crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's never gonna happen again. Thanks, mobile. Thanks, Trump
Oh my God.
administration. Maybe he's the Grinch. So yeah. I thought that, you know, for our little impromptu post-Christmas episode, we would just hang out and talk about two classics. One of which is produced this delightful thing. Isn't capitalism great? This is the Gremlins Furby because there was an epic lawsuit when Furby came out. You guys remember Furby? You remember that?
Yeah.
Love Furbies. I
Yeah.
desire a long Furby.
Yeah, me too. Someday. This is my childhood Furby. He doesn't work anymore. Very sad. I don't know what happened to his eyes. I should really repair him, but he's broken. His name was Utai. I loved him very much. Everyone hated Furby. They were terrified of Furby. I loved him. He was my friend. We would go on adventures around the house together. I would make him nests and stuff. This I bought off eBay. He still has his tag. But because the Gremlins, Furby looked kind of like a gremlin, there was a horrific lawsuit. And part of the settlement was that they would make this horrible little thing. Yeah.
I love it.
I think it's
He's really cute.
yeah. He's a little slow.
Yeah.
His electronics are very loud. You can just hear the metal parts inside him moving. They kind of drown out his voice, but it's Gizmo. Cookie! He begs for food a lot. I'm going to put him in the other room because he's really loud.
No food after midnight.
Well, thankfully, it's not that late here. But, yeah.
Don't let them trick you.
So gremlin.
I know. Or well, they would have a harder time turning the clocks back now.
Listen, if I had a gizmo, can you still hear that in the next room?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know what?
That's too funny.
That's the way it's going to be. We have a gremlin in the house. I mean, if I had a Mogwai, honestly, I would be dropping water on it. I would want lots of them. You know, I don't care. You know.
Don't abuse the privilege of having one in the first place.
That's kind of like one of the core messages.
Well,
yeah.
No, okay. Maybe I would give him like soda pop or something, and he would like get some on his leg. I don't know. All right, he's going to sleep out there. Erica, when did you first see gremlins?
Oh, the very first time I remember watching it, it was like a sleepover sort of situation when I was in like fifth grade, maybe sixth. And it was like a formative moment because I had heard a lot of my family talking about it growing up because that was like something they grew up with. My sisters were born in the 80s, so it came out when they were little. And it was like, it's such a good movie. You're going to love it. Like, it's so great. And I finally watched it and I could see the hype. Rewatching it was an equally lovely experience. But with fresh eyes, it's like, the things that made sense when I was little, it was like, oh, yes, I could see how this happened. It was like, you're an adult. Maybe just move a cup. Don't spill things. Act like an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I have a dog and there's a lot of things I eat that she's not allowed to eat. And it's not hard to keep her from eating the things I don't want her to eat, especially at the times when she's not supposed to be eating.
Do you just give your dog a plate full of bone-in chicken?
No, I do not, because I don't want her to turn into a gremlin.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's very fair. Adrian, when did you first see the movie?
I was like 6 or 7, because I'm an 80s child. And my mom rented it one Christmas, and it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I literally wanted to be Gizmo. Like, I wanted to be a Mogwai. Like, that was, like, my dream for, like, I don't know, at least a year. That was it.
That's so real. Reject modernity. Embrace the Mogwai.
Like, I just... Like, life as a Mogwai just seemed so much better. And then I'd be cute and fuzzy and get to sing cute little songs.
Mike, when did you first see the movie?
Maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And it might have actually been Luca who introduced me to it. And just watching this 80s camp and also... Again, marveling at the change of the film rating industry, that considering that this was PG, this is PG, and I was like, there's the
no
gremlin
way.
In the microwave, there's...
They kill Santa,
yeah.
They kill everyone, perhaps they're amazing. They kill that old lady, they shoot her up her Stairmaster.
No. I was
so
going to say, talking about, oh my God, what's the girl's name, Kate?
Yes.
Kate's father? I thought that's what you were talking about. The most traumatic Christmas childhood story ever. Just like, yeah, my dad died because he dressed as Santa and got caught in the chimney. Like, what the hell?
She says one of the greatest lines about hating Christmas ever. Like, she rivals the Grinch, where she says, listen, Billy, Christmas, some people are opening presents, other people are opening their wrists.
Yeah.
Yes!
I'm like, yo, preach, motherfucker.
Child friendly.
No, well, no.
Okay. You're and right. Billy's, it was yeah. not child friendly. And my like, it didn't even faze me when I was a kid, but I was like really weird. I'd already seen Monster Squad. I wanted to be a monster hunter. That was like it. Watching it with my daughter when she was 6, she wanted to see Gremlins. It was the one movie because she wasn't allowed to see Aliens. Because I was like, oh, hell no, you're 6. We're not watching Aliens. So I was like, I had to have a talk with my therapist and be like, okay, My 6-year-old daughter really wants to watch Gremlins. I don't know if this is going to be okay, if this is a good parenting move, because my mom let me watch a whole bunch of really awesome, very age inappropriate things growing up, but I was one of those kids where it was fine. There are kids where it's not. And my therapist sat there and she's like, what you're going to do, and for every movie forward, and Gremlins, this was it. She's like, you sit there and you watch it with her. And if she gets uncomfortable or starts to get scared, you can shut it off. You guys can talk about it and she can decide whether or not she's going to continue, because you don't want your kid growing up in like a little pink Barbie box thinking everything is great and then get like, poof, life is terrible. She's like, if your daughter wants to watch Gremlins, you watch Gremlins with her. And she did get scared when they killed Santa, and I did have to turn it off, and we had to talk about it, and then she begged to watch it again the next morning. She wanted to, like, finish it. And so we did, and it's one of her favorites. It was great.
It's great to have, like, a mother's perspective, because, like, you know, I was, like, 8 when I saw it, and it was the most amazingest movie ever. And I'm a sick fuck who'll just show it to my kid without worrying about it. If they get scared and run out of the room, I'll be like, I'll be right in, you know. I gotta watch the gremlin with the gun shoot at Gizmo, like,
yeah. Gizmo.
Poor Gizmo. And I think that's the center of our discussion. I will just say, I was indeed 8 years old when I saw it. I had a Furby. I loved little Utai. That was his name. I should probably repair him, as I said before, but you know, Moshe, my stepfather, would just look at him and be like, That's a Gizmo. That's a gremlin, man. And I'm like, I don't know what gremlins is. And he would just tell me about it all the time. And he had this thing where we didn't really watch movies because we were Orthodox Jews and we don't believe in fun. Like, the God forbade that for the Jewish people. He would draw pictures of them. Like, he drew a picture of a gremlin, and he wasn't a very good drawer, so it looked terrible. But he drew a gremlin, and it was saying, I am the Furby from hell. Because I was obsessed. Like, when he told me there were more Furby creatures, I was like, I wouldn't stop asking him about them. I'm like, tell me about gremlins, Tati. Tell me about gremlins, Tati. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, you're not supposed to get it wet. And then they take the really cute one, and they tie it up, and they light it on fire, and they throw it down the air vent, you know, and they torture it. And then they watch Cinderella, and they throw popcorn because they're bad.
It's
and
I'm like, Snow White.
I got the princesses mixed up. They watch Snow White because they're awesome. And I obsessed over it until we just rented it anyway. Actually, we didn't rent it. We found it on TV because we did have a television. We had a small television. And I caught it from the scene where it's the end when they're in the toy store. And, like, Gizmo's driving the little Barbie car.
It was a Barbie Corvette.
A Barbie Corvette.
It
was like Toy Story logic. It just goes, like, you know.
And, he's got to
make sense.
Yeah, he's got the action movie, like,
Rambo. Rambo.
It's Rambo. Just like, needs a special kind of dame. Just driving down.
Gizmo is a bad motherfucker. And obviously, I loved that movie when I finally got to watch it in whole. I loved the second one, too, which is apparently very divisive, you know? Especially if you don't know anything about Joe Dante. And I don't know.
You don't love Christopher Lee.
I've had an adulthood full of, like, embracing schlock movies and anarchy. And, like, that movie's, like... Let's talk about Gremlins 2 real fast. What do you guys think of it?
I loved it so much, because all we really need is civilization.
No, Erica hasn't seen it, which is fair.
I have not seen the second one, just the first.
Bruh. Seriously? Yes!
I've actually watched Gremlins 3 times this year, 3 times this month. One just for fun, and then a second time because I was bored, and then realizing that we're doing an episode, I was like, I probably should have some notes rather than just being like going off the dome. I didn't even think about the second one.
Love it.
The second one is amazing.
I guess it's up to me. Go ahead.
Shall we get to it?
Yeah, Gremlins. Adrian, I think it's up to me and you to sell the world on Gremlins 2.
Let's do it. We got this.
Yeah, so a little preamble. You know, Time Warner was like, yo, No one's buying our Gizmo plushies anymore. All right. So, Gremlins 2, where do we even start with this fucking movie? So, oh yeah, Time Warner. They really wanted to sell Gizmo plushies. They were like, oh, we're not selling as many Gizmo plushies with the, you know, the suction cup arms, you know, that go in the back of cars. Let's make a sequel. Well, no one wants to touch it. It's this, like, great movie. It's the sacred cow. No fucking director. They're like, Chris Columbus, want to direct it? He says, no. Yeah. We're not doing, I'm not doing that. They talk to all these directors. Spielberg, you want to do it? I'm busy. I'm making art. I don't want to make fucking Gremlins. I'll produce it. Whatever. They go to Joe Dante. They're like, sequel? And he's like, no more studio bullshit. I have creative control. They're like, we're gonna back. A few years pass. No one wants to touch this thing. Finally, they're like, look, we like money. We like selling dollies. We like being relevant. Hey, want to make the movie? Creative control? They're like, all right, fine. And we get Gremlins 2. This incredible, incredible, incredible movie that honestly has some of the manic energy that Joe Dante's other movie, Looney Tunes Back in Action, could have used a little more of. So it's like, there's a company that has Gizmo. I don't know how they got him. Adrian, is it set in the movie?
The China district, they're demolishing all of the stuff and the old man dies. And so Gizmo's in that abandoned thing and they have to go like get the inventory and they find him and they're like, ooh, we can sell little things like this. Like, this is going to be perfect. So they take it up to the place where Billy works.
They lampshade the fact that Gizmo is adorable and perfectly made to make plushies of in the movie. They're like, oh boy, this'll be the best
yes,
thing
they're
ever.
Literally making commentary on that.
It's great. So I should probably highlight the fact that a lot of times with sequels, you make a perfect movie. And it's like, we have to make another one because we made too much money. We can't possibly just leave it alone. We have to make more money. But the creatives involved are like, we can't make something on the level or better. So they lean so the old adage in Hollywood is, if you can't make the sequel better, make it funnier. So this obviously worked out with Son of Kong, the sequel to the original King Kong. I say that facetiously because it's not very good. I like it, but you know. Gremlins 2 is unrestrained. It's insane. So Christopher Lee plays a mad scientist who does horrible experiments to the gremlins and creates all kinds of wacky gremlins. There's a Batman gremlin. There's a nutty gremlin. There's a nice lady gremlin who tries to seduce people.
No, she's in love with Jonathan Glover. She's trying to get Lex Luthor's dad from Smallville. He's the guy that runs the company. And she's like trying to get him all like, ooh. Ah. And it's really funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, she's like trying to seduce him through the whole movie and like chasing him around.
There's like this awesome scene where there's like a stop motion flying gremlin. It's like the gargoyle gremlin. It's amazing. It's an amazing movie.
He's got like these bat wings and stuff and he falls in the concrete and he goes on the cathedral and then turns hard and he's like an encompassed gremlin gargoyle. It's funny.
So what you're saying is Greg Weisman, who created Gargoyles, is a fucking hack who stole
it. I mean, he was definitely inspired by that moment. I'm just going to say that happened.
Deep lore. Yeah.
Actually, did the Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney movie. I think they got that from Gremlins, too.
Also, you know, if anyone's on the fence, there's a scene where the gremlins, there's so many of them and they're so powerful. They destroy the film projector that the movie you're watching is on. So then Hulk Hogan shows up and he's like, hey, I was watching that. And then the gremlins just like swarm him. And the Hulkster's like, oh, the Hulkster can't even beat the gremlins. They're too powerful, you know? Also,
this sounds phenomenal.
Leonard
I'm
Maltin
telling you guys, it's amazing.
So Leonard Maltin, who you might know from Mystery Science Theater, he's on it and the gremlins kill him too. He's like trash talking the first movie for not making any sense with its rules. And the gremlins get him. They get him. And there is a gremlin that looks like Leonard Maltin. He wears the glasses and talks like him. So
you also know, have man. Grandpa Munster from the Munsters in it.
Yeah.
And he is like, oh, I finally get to do live television. And he's doing it in his full Dracula, like Grandpa Dracula thing. It is so cute.
You got the Hulkster. You got Grandpa Munster. You got mm-hmm. Leonard Maltin. And I'm not going to spoil the ending because it's fucking great. I don't care if it's like 30 years old or something now. But, you know, I loved it. And honestly, I don't know where you go with Gremlins. Yeah, so there's also an animated, there's also an animated show, which everyone should watch. Erica and Mike didn't watch it, but me and Adrian have seen it. It's really cute. It's on HBO Max. And it's about the old man as a little boy in China. And he finds the Mogwai. And it's very cute.
And yeah. He's voiced by... the guy from Big Trouble in Little China. Like, he's amazing. It's beautiful.
People in China, like, they keep calling it like a puppy cat, like a cat dog or something, because they don't know what it is. But what really makes the show shine is its dark fantasy and very high stakes for the protagonist. His grandpa gets eaten by an evil sorcerer. It's fucking great. He's turned into a pearl and eaten. And like, there's all these gremlins, of course, because you can't have a gremlins thing where poor Gizmo doesn't get tortured.
Right.
Gizmo.
Their leader is this horrible female one. I forget what her name is, but it's a really good show. It's very fun. And the best thing about it, the actual best thing, is its usage of Chinese mythology. If you've ever seen those hopping vampires, they're the Jiangshi. Yeah, I've seen them in two places. One was in some awesome Hong Kong cheapie called Robo Vampire. Please watch it. And well, Gremlins. If you're into that, yeah. So Gremlins, you know, that's it. They are making Gremlins 3, sadly, but let's.
Zach Galligan is also going to be completely involved with this one as well.
He's going to be the guy who gives Gremlin to the new child and is like,
he is. You're right. That's totally what's. Yeah. I don't know. I just love that he's been involved with everything Gremlins since it started.
Whatever. I'm tired of legacy sequels. Gizmo.
Gizmo, the purest, most adorable little soul. I'm a sucker for a little cute animal and just the, you know, like, bright light, bright light. Just, you having fun?
I love when he takes a picture of him and he like falls. He's like, meh.
Yeah. I do like, is it Billy and his father? They're good. But they're such dopes. Like, we have abused Gizmo, like, twice in the first, like, hour that they have him. They take the camera picture and he, like, blinds him. Mm-hmm. Does something else with the mirror, knocks him off. He gets a head wound and he's just going, ah, woo, 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 woo. Yeah. And then the water thing. And Gizmo just looks so sad and tired at seeing his replicas. They're like, oh, Gizmo, what's the matter?
He's just sitting there like writhing in pain on the table too after he gets the water poured on him, and they're just staring at the duplicates in awe while he's just like there writhing, and it's like, can you comfort him a little something? You did this to him.
People really do treat their pets like their possessions,
for real. I mean, honestly, that's probably one of the biggest pieces of commentary from the film, is like exploitation of nature and animals in general, and how karma's a bitch and it comes back full circle in that regard.
Absolutely. You know, dude, you saying that makes me think about the iguana epidemic in Florida right now, where people were releasing iguanas because they're terrible pets and they're very cheap and they're very cute and they're babies. But I mean, when it becomes a 6-foot hostile monster that's trying to bite your fingers off and hitting you with its tail so hard that you're crying, you might just open that door and let old petals run away, you know? So these things thrive in Florida, and now they have these horrible lizards just destroying the environment, attacking things that are native. Also, tegus eating, which is another giant lizard, eating birds, native things, and there's a bounty on them.
Invasive species, yes.
Yeah.
Also, the giant snakes that are there, the pythons, they're also an invasive species in Florida. It's ridiculous.
Because Florida's warm, these things can thrive, of course. You know, so that's a great commentary, Mike. I definitely appreciate that in a big way. Which, of course, brings us to just the animatronic and puppetry of these things. Right? They're incredible. They're seriously incredible. Like that moment when all the other gremlins are, all the other gizmos, all the other mogwais are hand puppets. That's like the one moment where it doesn't work. That's it. Well, there's the stop motion also, but who cares? I mean, stop motion's the best. Yeah, Gizmo is brought to life through this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful motorized puppet. It's incredible. And he's so cute, you know? Also, yeah. I want to mention that Howie Mandel voiced him.
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, Howie, yeah. Do we like Howie Mandel? Is he still a good person? I don't know. It's hard to
know. No, he's a terrible dude.
Seems like he's just there, I guess. Okay. I don't know. I have personal beef with Howie just because I'm tired of seeing this ad on Netflix where he has those golfer-sneaking little round sunglasses on inside. I just have beef with him over those glasses because, like, when do we start wearing hats and sunglasses inside again?
Wow. Wow. A lot of hate for Howie Mandel. Okay.
I mean, okay. He was the voice of Bobby in Bobby's World when I was a kid, and he was in that, what was it, Little Monsters? that movie's a fever dream. Nobody remembers that movie.
I remember it.
I hear Howie Mandel, and I think of that show with the suitcases. I had a Wii game that went with it when I was a kid, so I think of that, too. Just Howie Mandel on my Wii.
But Howie Mandel has been a lot, like, he's been around since I was a kid. It's crazy.
He's almost like Shaq, just doing a little bit of everything for funsies.
Shaq's a sellout.
So I was thinking while my ADD is letting me hold on to these thoughts before they fly away, two things. One is, can we agree that the real villain of the movie is Mrs. Deagle?
Her death was my favorite. I can't even lie.
Well, it's funny because the Gremlins kill her without any real, like, it's not framed as like a big moment. They just kill her. They shoot her out the window in her Stairmaster. And that
I thought that scene was so great, though, and the effects behind it were so fun. Yeah.
And what she's saying as they, oh, they've come for me. I'm not ready. It's like, oh, so you know damn well where are you going, mm-hmm. lady.
She knew from the beginning.
I love that the Gremlins themselves, they're not like Art the Clown or Freddy Krueger. They're just wacky little dudes that are just having a laugh, you know? They're little chaos demons. And that,
literally,
there's something pure about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they are supposed to be in lore. I mean, there's even crazy stories from World War II where, like, this guy swears still to this day that he had gremlins in his plane that, like, brought his plane down, and somehow they also managed to help him to survive. So it's like this weird, like, it's just
we're going to be disastrous, but not murderous most of the time.
Yes!
If someone dies in the crossfire, it happens.
You know, we had fun. As long as it's fun, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do have to say that, Since the guys really suck at doing much in this movie, the girls have to step up, namely Billy's mom and Kate. Billy's mom,
Billy's
taking out,
mom
like,
is the Billy bad.
She is the best!
Let's talk about Billy's mom. Well, Billy's mom is awesome, and I love that scene. I've always loved that scene, because that's the moment when it becomes kind of a slasher, but it's her. But what's cool about it is she's in the kitchen using the things that she knows to use, such as knives, the blender,
The microwave!
It's horrific. It's truly horrific stuff. But she's stepping up because she's the mom. She knows that motherfucking kitchen. You know what I mean? And we love ourselves a woman who could fucking defend her domain in this house. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, like, I don't think I've ever seen a feminist takedown of that scene. Because it's great. It's truly great. You know? Like,
it
what's
is.
There to
in
hate?
A time where that stuff didn't really happen a whole lot.
Right. Right, and it falls into that same category of, like, suburban deconstruction that, like, I don't know, Edward Scissorhands goes into, where it's using these suburban American pastoral, is that a term?
Yes,
American
that pastoral. Is actually the right terminology.
There you go, American pastoral, you know, perfection that what everyone's longing for, and turn them into places of horror. But it's the mom doing it against horrible little monsters. So Mike and Adrian, you guys have both seen the classic Red Cap horror movie, Unwelcome. How do the gremlins compare to the Red Cap goblins?
Well, I mean, the gremlins are a little bit more charming than the Unwelcome puppets, I'm going to say. But I still want one of the red caps too. Like, I want a gremlin and I want a red cap. I think they're both very cute.
Thinking in like D&D like moral alignment, I feel like the gremlins are just like good old chaotic neutral. Like, they're not necessarily going out of their way to be evil. Like, any deaths that happen tend to be just, I don't say accidental, but like, they're just there. They're not going around purposely killing people. The red caps from the other movie, similar vibes, but they were essentially bought out because they made a deal. So they might be a little bit more opportunistic in that way. I don't think you could buy a gremlin's loyalty in this case. They're like, no, we do what we want. Yum, yeah. Yum. And then they go on and do their thing.
I would agree. As seen in the series Legends of the Mogwai, where they're like a horde of marauding pirate gremlins, you know? So. Yeah, I would agree with that. They're delightful. And I think that Gremlins maintains its stay as like a Christmas movie because the gremlins themselves, despite being sinister and violent, they're mischievous and funny. And, well, little Billy learns a lesson. It's not the lesson most Christmas movie protagonists learn, but it's an important one nonetheless.
I mean, if you want to stretch it to like European folklore, it's not unusual to have chaotic little creatures like that too, like the red caps. I was thinking also the Yule lads have specific duties each day, each night of Christmas. They're not necessarily going out to cause harm, but they're there just to be weird and chaotic.
We love the Yule lads here. Do watch our last year's Christmas episode for a breakdown of the fucking Yule lads. They're my favorite. You know, Saul Sausage Dealer is my favorite. He's great.
You know, I have to say that you were talking about Gizmo and his design and just the practical effects and all that. Honestly, all of the effects still hold up pretty well. Yeah. I mean, you have to suspend disbelief just a little bit, but honestly, not as much as I would expect for something from the 80s. Like, even the little CGI that they have in the kitchen with the gremlin that's eating the cookie that the mom first sees, ain't half bad.
I think that's stop motion. There's no CGI in the movie.
It's stop motion. Oh.
Yeah.
They only do stop motion briefly. The only one that looks truly bad is when they're all coming out of the theater or going into it, and it's that shot of the street, and they're like, me, me, me. That's fine.
Those old Ray Harryhausen movies. Like, it's precious.
Yeah, stop motion is always charming for me. Some people, it just doesn't, it's too jerky. I get it. Whatever. But I don't know. There's something about puppets. And, like, there's some CGI, like modern CGI, that is so bad it's almost charming. Welcome to Derry, for instance. But, yeah. I would agree about the special effects. Mike, do you want to keep talking about that? Do you have more to say?
Yeah, no, just the designs, too, with the gremlins themselves as opposed to the Mogwai. Because, you know, different looks and everything. And the scene in the bar is just pure chaos. Poor Kate putting up with all of them just serving the drinks and whatnot. And
bless
getting
her heart.
I love that
flashed,
she's actually,
I guess. I don't know.
See, that's that Joe Dante humor where she doesn't just run screaming the minute they show up. She's actually behind the bar serving them.
She's like,
that's
just don't bite me.
Favorite scenes where they're all like the one's wearing the hat, the other one's wearing the scarf, and they're like, nah, 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 nah. And they're drinking and they're laughing. That's one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
The movie scene with Snow White and just them all just perking up at the door saying, hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho. It's after a ghetto. Just like,
it highlights,
they're just looking in like, they're singing and they love it.
It highlights the fact that they're childlike and kind of innocent. They're just miscreants.
I was going to say, Stripe might be a little bit more actively malevolent, but...
Yeah, he's a little antagonistic. He's like that mean little playground bully that's like, I'm going to take your toys and then shove you in the sand.
Which is what he continuously does to Gizmo through the whole thing.
It just gets worse and it makes me sad.
Gizmo, caca!
The entire ending scene between them was just me going, where did you get that? How did you get that? While he's torturing poor Gizmo, where did you get a mini crossbow and why does it work? Why do you have a little gun? Like,
do
I'm
you
here
have a
for it.
Chainsaw?
Where did these things come from and why do you know how to use them?
Don't ask questions. I believe that Stripe, being a gremlin and therefore technologically competent, I believe he built that gun himself out of parts he stole from the tractor. Like, I believe it. I don't care.
He's so valid.
He just MacGyvered it.
He probably said, yeah, I'm a craft this MacGyver real quick, and then I got somewhere to be.
This movie reminds me of something me and Adrian talk about a lot, and that's the, oh, I guess the word is pastiche, where you have a movie that's clearly in one genre, but has elements of another. And like, Gremlins is a pet movie, right? It's a Christmas movie, but it has horror elements. Right down to the fact when Stripe gets killed by the bright lights of the mall or the toy store, and he melts down, him and all the evil gremlins melt down into green, gooey slime, like something out of a trauma movie, and he even lunges back for one more, you know? Just like a horror movie, just like a monster movie, because that's what Gremlins is at its heart. It's a monster movie with... But it's also, there's other things I mentioned.
I was thinking too, like on a brief tangent too, with just special effects in movies too, is like, it's so weird to look at like CGI from like Pacific Rim or something like that from the like 2010s and like, that shit is good. And then stuff from like 2 years ago looks like garbage because the studios just rushed through the animation and whatnot. But it looks like it's now, the pendulum is swinging back a little bit more the other way. Like, I'm currently getting back into Stranger Things and the practical effects of that and whatnot. The amount of work that must go into that, but they're committed. So hopefully the earth is healing. Hopefully we're coming back to seeing better CGI, better effects that, you know, immerse you in the story rather than like kind of jolt you out of it because you have to take a moment to like be like, okay, that looks bad, but okay, I'm going to pretend that it doesn't. Because I want to enjoy the story and yeah.
Well, and you still have things like Age of Resistance, which managed to use both puppets, like tons of beautiful puppets and CGI, and they melded it together in a way that I could accept. And
Age of Resistance, by the way, is the Netflix series that is a prequel to The Dark Crystal, which is a Jim Henson dark fantasy movie. You should watch. It has... Every character is a puppet. And I'm not going to say any more about it. Go watch the fucking Dark Crystal, the Jim Henson movie. What are you doing? Get out of here. Go watch it. Yeah, so speaking of horrific Christmas movies that traumatize children, there's also Jim Carrey's The Grinch, which I just saw for the first time the other day. And let me tell you guys, I was blown away so much that I wrote an essay about it on our Substack. So check that out if you feel like it. But... Seriously, though, I avoided it for years because I didn't grow up with Christmas and all that. And all I know was they made this stupid Jim Carrey movie, and I wasn't allowed to go to the movie theater, so I didn't see it. But growing up, my assumption was that, like, he was going to be doing, like, The Mask. And to me, The Grinch was this refined, articulate fellow who didn't care for Christmas because it was loud and gauche and obnoxious. So I didn't watch it. I don't know. I turned around on Jim Carrey because of Sonic 3, where he does this incredible stand-up knockout performance. And this year I decided I'm going to watch The Grinch. Why the fuck not? And, well, we'll get into my thoughts in a bit, but Adrian, Mike, you guys watched it.
If I may, because I'm sure I'll get my gushing about it out of the way first. Yeah, I grew up with this. I love this version of the movie. I was joking with my wife. She can probably say all of Clue by heart. I can say most of The Grinch by heart. Like, I'll just say so many of the quotes out of context. Just be like, my schedule won't allow it. 4:30, myself again. I can't cancel that again. Solve world hunger. Tell no one. Just all these random quotes. Just coming through, but like it's just a generally fun movie. I also love the fact that the actress who played Cindy Lou Who is now Taylor Momsen of the Pretty Reckless and kicks ass as a rock star who literally also just covered the song she sang in the movie from 25 years ago. And it's pretty badass. So
I did not know she covered that.
They just released it like a week or two ago or something for Christmas. So it's fun. But no, the Grinch is a lot of fun. I do laugh that the guy who plays the mayor, I keep looking at him as like, he kind of looks like Mitt Romney. I don't know what it is. Like he looks like an old Republican.
Mike, it's Jeffrey Tambor, the famous sex offender. That's funny that you think he looks like Mitt Romney, though.
If the shoe fits.
Adrian, is Jeffrey Tambor worse than Mitt Romney? I'm not sure.
I'm going to say it's about, 50-50.
I haven't heard of Mitt Romney in a minute, so...
You know, it's funny that Donald Trump voice I do sometimes, that was originally the Mitt Romney voice. Hey, 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 Mitt Romney. Yeah, so it's been adapted because standards have gotten worse. But yeah. I agree. So tell me more about the Grinch, though, before me and Adrian take over.
I think I must have seen the original, like read the Dr. Seuss, seen the original like 30-minute special, whatever it was, you know, the cartoon. And the fact that they made a 2-hour movie out of this relatively short story, I'm like, okay, whatever. But I'm just a sucker for all the mannerisms with Jim Carrey. I think I must have been old enough when I watched it that like it wasn't nightmare fuel for me, but I can understand where if you're a little younger and watching it, just seeing all that makeup would have been terrifying. But
yeah,
just all the very Jim Carrey-isms, like the scene in the post office where he's hiding with Max. It goes like, whew, it's just like, Gesundheit. It's ridiculous. And it also, the older I get, the more I sympathize with the Grinch and Christmas in general.
Yes. Yeah. So I agree. I think, I don't know that anyone else could have done what Jim Carrey does with that movie, you know? Like, it's brilliant. Like, he's wearing a leotard that's itchy, he's unhappy, he's wearing contacts he can't see out of, and he's the Grinch. He disappears into the role, you know? I also have always loved the Grinch. This movie is insane. I was not expecting the Grinch to have a tragic backstory as a child with no parents, raised by two old lesbians, in a town run by Jeffrey Tambor, and everybody hates him because he's green and he has a beard and he tries to shave because he has no dad. He gets shaving cuts and everyone laughs at him. Even the teacher. It's horrifying and debilitating. He's an artist. He makes this beautiful, 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 beautiful Christmas ornament for this girl. And he doesn't get to give it to her because everyone's laughing at him and being mean to him. All because he's green. And yeah, he runs away to live in the mountains like a weirdo. And he goes insane from the isolation. Like, it's great. And like, considering that like, we're watching an absolute madman, Jim Carrey is perfectly cast. He's not just doing the mask.
He ends up pretty precious in it. Like, towards the end, like, in his face and like, the way that he like, moves with all of that like makeup and prosthetics and stuff like that. He's so cute. He's just so cute. I just want to give him a hug.
Yeah, it's easy to love him because he is a monster. He's not like the other Whovians. He's a monster. He's a cute monster. He's a furry monster. And he's nutty. And he really just needs a friend. His only friend is himself and that little doggy.
Yes. Oh my God, Max.
Max is so cute.
Those interactions too. Yes. I was going to say, there's definitely humor that I missed when I was 11 or something when this first came out. That was definitely more adult-like when they have the babies being delivered. It's like, come on, our baby arrived. He looks just like your boss.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty dark.
Oh my God, when he comes back to get the crown or something, and like, here's your old mom. He's like, you two are still living?
I like that he thinks there's a check. He's like, okay, where's the check? They're like, there's no check.
Or the pudding eating contest, just shoving his face. This is not pudding. What is it?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about it. Like, he goes there, and he, at the last minute, he's like, oh, this nice lady that I like is going to be there. Okay, I'll go. And he goes there, and they don't respect him. They don't respect they overload his senses. And he's begging them to stop, and they're shoving food in his face, and he freaks the fuck out. And I should highlight the fact that I mentioned suburban satire in our Little Gremlins discussion a minute ago. Same thing here. These people are paying for material things with money. They work jobs. They buy things. There's a class system. There's poor people. It's horrible.
That's what makes his blow up at the end of that scene so incredible too, is, you know, and the mayor's just it's obvious satire, but like, and a new car graciously paid for by the taxpayers of Whoville, and doing this whole thing, and the Grinch just loses it in perhaps the most succinct and commentary on the whole commercialization of it. It's just like, again, I don't think it's a stretch to say the Grinch didn't really hate Christmas. He just hated all this bullshit surrounding it.
Mike's right. He hated the commercialism. That's why he and Cindy Lou Who made friends, because she's like the first person in the movie you see that's like, this doesn't feel right. Like, why are you doing all of this stuff just to buy presents? It doesn't make sense. She's like, I guess I'm just not in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, she wants to be nice to the Grinch, and old Jeffrey Tambor, he's making up rules to exclude him. He's being mean. He's saying horrible things about him. And yeah, like when they're torturing the Grinch during the little celebration and he freaks the fuck out and goes on his monster rampage like the Wolfman, it's totally earned, you know? And yeah, I think that little Cindy Lou Who, because in the picture book, that's not really a factor. She's just the little girl that the Grinch lies to. Mm-hmm. But, like, in this movie, she cares. And, by the way, I also love The Pretty Reckless. I saw them on a double bill with Marilyn Manson, and they were a great opener. Yeah, it was a great show. She's a great dancer, too. And she's also a great actress. You know, compare that to the 2018 Grinch, where the voice actress, it's fucking awful.
It's been Cumberbatch.
Yeah. You know, it's a magic thing in Hollywood called a paycheck, and I don't make you do anything. By the way, so my boyfriend, he noticed something. The wonderful Grinch song, it's sung by the original voice actor of Tony the Tiger. Yeah, and in his theory, he actually got it from curated Tumblr on Reddit, is that Tony the Tiger and the Grinch broke up, and it's a breakup song. We're healed, Mr.
That's
Grinch.
That's so funny.
That's charming, great. As an eel. Like,
I mean, we all know Tony the Tiger is a sack of shit. He can eat my ass. He can go fuck himself.
Well, apparently he would like that. Yeah. So there's that.
Well, yeah, we do like monsters here, but Tony the Tiger is excluded from the club. So, especially if he broke the Grinch's heart. So, what did I want to say? Yeah. So, my big thing with the Grinch movie is I love it. I love Jim Carrey. Him singing the Grinch song, by the way. Incredible. Incredible. There's nothing like it. The only thing that comes close is the Misfits cover, and Jim Carrey beats it because he's dancing, he's got maggots in his teeth. I believe they put real maggots in his teeth because he's Jim Carrey.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I'm just like, termites, yes.
Yeah, it was termites.
Okay. Yeah. Damn. my one gripe with the movie is that I know the end is in the Dr. Seuss, but I don't believe those commercial shallow motherfuckers would actually be like, oh no, all our presents that we spent all our money on are gone. Let's sing Carol. No, you know what they would be doing? To take the monster thing as far as possible, they would be like the villagers at the end of Frankenstein with torches and pitchforks. They'd be on all Mount Crooked pulling for the Grinch's head. Yeah. You know it. You all know it. Mike, do you disagree?
No, I realistically, yeah, I they probably would have gone that way. But I think there's something to be said, too, that Cindy Lou Who's father standing up to the mayor is perhaps the first sign we see of people, like, dissenting at all. Mm. And he's not, like, he doesn't punch the mayor. He just simply says, like, destroy Christmas because it's not about all this stuff. You know, this is all I need. This is my family. Of course, the mayor is set as the opposite end of that, where he's alone and bitchy. Just like people are like, oh, who would I rather be like in this moment? Do I want to be like this happy family or like this poor fucker?
Yeah.
And I forget the word I'm looking for, but it basically shames them into like looking at themselves and going, okay, we might have lost the plot a bit. We should probably think about this and savor what we do have.
Yeah, there's a clear catharsis, and I think that's fantastic. You know, like the Dr. Seuss works because there's tradition of Christmas poems.
It was the night before Christmas.
Okay, yeah. And I think Dr. Seuss was doing that, and he makes it clear that nobody knows why the Grinch was so mean. Christmas was loud, it was obnoxious, and then like he thinks it's about the commercialization, and then he steals the presents, and the abstraction kind of works in the poem's favor. And if you wanted to adapt that into a 2-hour movie, you get the shitty Illumination one. If you try to give it a little heart, you get the Ron Howard movie. By the way, this movie kind of makes me appreciate Ron Howard as a filmmaker.
Oh my God, what's the phrase I'm looking for? And I don't know if you call it echolalia, where you kind of like latch onto a phrase or something. Like, favorite things to do is take from the Grinch the scene after he sends Cindy Lou Who to bed, and he's like, I hope the Grinch has a nice Christmas and that Santa brings him something. And then the line he says about like, sweet kid, bad judge of character, is something I apply to my dog all the time. She's super sweet, but she would definitely befriend people I don't want to be friends with. She is very sweet. The single string cheese, I'm sure. It wouldn't take much.
So, I'm the kind of person where, you know, I'm not a big fan of Christmas. I fucking hate it. It makes me sick. My favorite Christmas movies are like Terrifier 3, Krampus, Terrifier 3, which famously has, a murderous demon clown dressed like Santa Claus killing people with chainsaws. You know, Krampus, which famously has a fat kid getting abducted by little cartoon gingerbread men, throw them in a sack, a family getting thrown into the pit of hell. Gremlins. These are my favorite Christmas movies. I would put the Grinch higher than Krampus, personally. You know, like, as far as, I mean, because again, I'm not one to pick Miracle on 34th Street, despite liking that movie. I also love Santa Claus because he's weird. I hate Christmas, but I love Santa. But the Grinch, I loved it. I related to it. I was a weirdo who didn't really grow up with a father, and I had shaving cuts. I was teased for them. I get it. I was also teased for being a weirdo, you know? So where would you guys put the Grinch?
See, it's funny. It's definitely up there, but I think my Christmas lists are a little split because I do have the ones that I'll watch for wholesomeness or just good old fun. Home Alone, I don't know if I'd call that wholesome, but I admittedly, I'm just here for the random booby traps and stuff like in the last half of the movie.
Great movie.
But like Krampus is one that I'll watch just myself. Also the Jack in the Box, definitely the most terrifying creature in that movie. Just the like waking, going up in the attic and seeing that like thing. I'm like, ah, ha, 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 fuck no, I can't. But
great movie.
No, yeah, the Grinch is pretty high up there. Ah, man, it's hard to pick a favorite. Gremlins is very much in that, you know, final circle of must watches in December.
Fuck yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Adrian, where would you put the Grinch?
Gremlins is still higher, and so probably too is Die Hard, because to me that is a Christmas movie. I'm just saying. But I would actually put The Grinch probably underneath Die Hard. Like, it might be top three now.
For Christmas. I have a gun now, too. Ho, ho, ho.
Right. Die Hard in the mix, that's definitely making my cut. And Gremlins is definitely high up there. I am a sucker for musicals and queer love stories, though. Rent is one of my all-time favorite movies, but especially around Christmas.
Christmas bells are ringing somewhere else. Yeah, absolutely.
Seasons of Love, I'll listen to year round, but it hits extra hard on Christmas. 25,000, all the minutes. Give me all of the love.
I know.
The main great. Song, though, I swear was like, especially with me in high school, was like a go-to for the choir department to practice. So like you walk by and you 525,006, and I'm like, oh my god, I heard it again.
Love to hear our school choir singing those.
It's so fun, but I'm like, oh god, not again.
Rent, Die Hard, yeah. What else? Is that it, Erica? Do you have another one?
I think
one?
That's it.
Those are good ones, though. Those are good ones. Those are solid recommendations. Yeah. I know. I mean, I'm a weirdo who would put Santa Claus Conquers the Martian like a little, you know, right next to those three. But you know, maybe don't watch that one. Watch the Mystery Science Theater. There's also this Santa Claus movie from the '60s. It's Spanish, where Santa fights the devil. That's pretty good too. I recommend that. It's just called Santa Claus.
That's
There's
so
also
fun.
Oh, it's great. There's a Mystery Science Theater version of it. We should like watch it on stream or something. But yeah,
just like to say it is definitely a monster movie. It's handled like a monster movie.
Aid, my dear. Yeah. Aid.
Yes.
You cut out. You cut out. We didn't.
Am
hear
I
what
gone?
You were saying. Can you say it again, please?
No.
It died.
What's happening? Why can't we hear you?
I don't know. I can hear you guys just fine.
Everybody's frozen.
That's why. Fuck.
Did our Wi-Fi go out?
Well, I guess the gremlins got Adrian. Okay. Well, leave that in. Funny. All right. Anything else to say? Anything else before we do our wrap up?
I think I'm afraid to. If they took Adrian, I think.
Holy fuck! I think the gremlins are killing all of us. Oh my god! All right, time to wrap up. Yeah, so the gremlins have killed Erica and Adrian. So we're going to do our wrap up now. Follow Erica on Instagram, Monster Exemplum. She's a poet. She's awesome. We love her. Mike, of course, has a podcast called Mike's Millennial Podcast, where he talks about geek culture and other cool stuff. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Sure, yeah. Mike's Millennial Falcon, you could find at MMFalconPod on Instagram. We're taking a break for the holidays. We'll come back in probably February. Luca is essentially my co-host at this point, so we're brainstorming what to focus on this season. There's been a lot of movies that have just come out that I'd love to talk about between the Knives Out series, the new Frankenstein, the new Resident, 28 Years Later movie we're going to see, Stranger Things is wrapping up. There's a lot to talk about coming up, and maybe even bringing on some guests this season. We'll see what we can do. We got big dreams. We'll see what we can do.
Big dreams, as we all do. And yeah, sorry for getting. Adrian is, of course, the chairperson and founder of the Horror Art Film Society of Amarillo. Follow the Instagram account that's linked below for that. I mean, if you're an artist or you're a writer, they also have a magazine they're producing, so check that out. And of course, I'm King Loki. You know, read my books at demonlandbooks.com. Follow Death Wish Poetry Magazine and hire me to edit your book or proofread it or I don't know. I'm also a writing coach over at nightcapwrite.com. That's about it. I hope your Christmas was great, your Hanukkah was even better, and your Kwanzaa was the greatest of all. And any other holidays or solstices you're celebrating, I hope they're merry and full of joy. Other than that, hey, make art, write poetry, love your demons. Ave Satanas.